Handoff. Damian Williams trying to get to the edge. Breaks a tackle. 35, 30. Damian Williams, 20. Stays in bounds. 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Kansas City. Damian Williams runs to immortality and will be remembered forever in the Chiefs kingdom.
Tiamu stays on his feet, and he whistles one complete for a first down to Alonzo Russell.
Good snap, good place. The kick is up. It is long enough, and it is a Missouri winner. The thicker kicker connects.
I had no doubt. He's nails in practice. He's been nails all day.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the ShowMeFootball.com podcast. And today I am joined by PrimeCon. I can never get a good intro. I just wanted to say that. I hate myself for that. Maybe I should start letting you do the intros instead, but oh well. Anyways, I'm joined by Prime Connor. What?
I said give me the whole site.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, well should we reveal that yet?
Nah. Keep them waiting.
All right. Well, yeah, big news coming out soon. Yeah. But today we're going to be catching up on Mizzou football. Been a while since we talked about them. I think the last podcast we made was back when Steve Wilkes was hired. But a few things have happened. So, first of all, our defensive backs coach, David Gibbs, left to be the co-defensive coordinator at UCF to go join Gus Malzahn's staff over there. And it makes sense given the fact that he basically got passed up on for the defensive coordinator job. He was in the running, didn't get it. And, you know, when that happens, well, I mean, if you're him, you're looking at the situation, you're like, well, you know, if I got passed up now, well, then there's not really any room for advancement here. So it's probably the time to start looking around. But Connor, I'll ask you, and before we even get into who the new hire is, which everyone knows by now, what were your kind of initial impressions of David Gibbs leaving?
I was kind of surprised because it seemed like a lateral move, but I guess he just really wanted to be a defensive coordinator so that he'd, I mean, he's not even the full-time defensive coordinator, he's the co-defensive coordinator. Yeah. So I don't know if being the co-defensive coordinator at an American school is better than being the D-backs coach at an SEC school, but whatever.
Yeah, okay. Let me say something. So, Mizzou fans, whenever a good assistant coach leaves, it goes from, oh, that was a great assistant coach, to, eh, he wasn't that good. He wasn't really the recruiter. It was all Drinkwitz. Let me say something. David Gibbs, make no mistake, was a good recruiter. Our defensive back recruiting was very good under David Gibbs. Now, you can argue whether the secondary play was good or not under him, and if the secondary coach even has that much to do with the actual play of the secondary, whatever, that's up for debate. But there's no denying David Gibbs was a good recruiter. I mean, he helped get Jadarius Perkins. Isaac Thompson loved David Gibbs a lot, and in fact, UCF offered David, or not David Gibbs, UCF and David Gibbs offered Isaac Thompson just a couple of days ago, and that might be something to watch. The current Mizzou safety commit, apparently Isaac Thompson's family is very fond of David Gibbs, and they were hoping he got the defensive coordinator job at Mizzou. But the feeling is still that, you know, they were kind of bummed out by it, but, you know, that he's still fully committed to Mizzou from what I've heard, and, I mean, Steve Wilkes' resume speaks for itself. I mean, who wouldn't want to play for a guy like that, you know? But, yeah, I mean, David Gibbs was a good recruiter, so that's where it hurts, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, but as you touched on with Steve Wilkes' recruiting resume, recruiting for itself, I'm not really too concerned, especially given the fact that Steve Wilkes is a specialist when it comes to defensive backs. So, yeah, it's going to hurt for a bit. Like, maybe we might end up losing Isaac Thompson. But Steve Wilkes is going to be able to get some good secondary players.
Yeah. And, for the record, I think Isaac Thompson sticks. Got a long way till signing day, so it'll be tough to keep him in. But, you know, you expect that with highly rated guys. But, yeah, I mean, David Gibbs, he helped land Ennis Rakestraw for sure. You know, that was one of the big reasons he came here. So it sucks. But Mizzou ended up hiring Aaron Fletcher, the defensive backs coach from Tulsa. And you know, from everything that I've gathered, he was seen as a very good hire. And I'll go ahead. Actually, I'll just ask you first. Do you have any really like thoughts on the hire at all?
I mean, I think I kind of touched on it when we did our defensive coordinator episode. The way I like to hire coaches is I like to hire coaches from a lower conference who did a good job at the same or higher position, like a defensive coordinator turning into our new DBs coach or somebody fired from the NFL level is something I also like. He was a D-backs coach, I'm sorry, at Tulsa. And I mean, I can't say that I watched a lot of Tulsa defensive back tape, but from all I hear is he's good. And, you know, that's what I like, you know, good units from the group of five moving up into the power five. I think that's a good hire.
Yeah. Like I told you, I wrote an article on him, and, here's a few statistics that I found. So his profile from his little from the Tulsa football website, it says the defensive backs unit at Tulsa recorded 21 pass breaks in 2019 and had the nation's eighth ranked pass defense in 2018. Fletcher also helped coach special teams at Tulsa, where his block unit had been top 15 in blocked kicks over the past two seasons. I actually talked to Kelly Hines, who covers the Golden Hurricanes for TulsaWorld.com, and I'll just read you what she said to me. She goes, he's an extremely well-respected coach among the players, and he has consistently gotten high-level production from his cornerbacks. What he's been able to do in six seasons at Tulsa is find kids with decent athleticism, speed, and length, and develop them into shutdown corners. Reggie Robinson II is an example of that. In 2019, he blossomed into one of the nation's best at defending passes and became an NFL draft pick for the Dallas Cowboys. And another thing that has been impressive about Fletcher is his commitment to community activism. He learned about the 1921 Tulsa race massacre after moving here and wanted to do something to educate and create awareness about it. So he started the Legacy of Black Wall Street a week every October when the university connects North Tulsa in a way that has never been done before. It's a pretty incredible legacy that Fletcher leaves behind. So it looks like he's great at developing relationships and, you know, that sort of thing, and can be not only a good coach, but a good, you know, leader of men on the football team, which, you know, that doesn't hurt at all. And I really like this hire from, you know, everything I've heard. And, you know, you just got to trust Drink. And really what I just wanted Drink to get his own guys that he was comfortable with, that he thinks can recruit well. And one of the things that's also nice about Fletcher is, you know, David Gibbs kind of left behind a Texas pipeline because David Gibbs had recruiting connections in Texas, and he is really the only coach on our staff that had huge Texas connections. Curtis Looper actually, I think, had some Texas connections too, but anyways, Gibbs was one of the big ones. And Fletcher, you know, was a high school coach for a bunch of Texas and Dallas area high schools, ended up coaching at a Houston Baptist University as well. And you know, he's got recruiting connections in Texas for sure, so that's good to hear.
Doesn't it seem like, at least during, like, say, the Pinkel era, that we were more of a Texas school than a Missouri school with just how many recruits we had come from Texas?
Yeah, definitely. And it's not even like we had, like, you know, massive, like, highly rated recruits out of Texas, but a lot of our players that became stars after getting to Mizzou seem to have came from Texas.
Yeah, I just remember, I think it was like Locke's freshman year or something, back when Matty Mock was the quarterback, just seeing like the graphics of where everyone's from, and it just seemed like everyone was from Texas. So, I mean, it's good to have somebody with Texas connection, because obviously we're pretty big in Texas.
Yep, for sure. Never hurts to have kids come from Texas. And then the other thing I wanted to touch on is the new commitments. One of the earlier ones we got is Jamarion Gooch, an offensive tackle out of Tennessee. He's 6'8", 360 pounds, which is massive. He ended up committing to Auburn back when Gus Malzahn was still there, and then, of course, he got fired. He ended up decommitting from Auburn. then went over to Tennessee. Not sure why anyone would commit to Tennessee. Committed to Tennessee, signed. Then after their coaching change, he asked out of his letter of intent, got let out, and now he ended up at Missouri. And he should be on campus sometime soon. But this guy had a pretty big offer list. Like I said, Auburn, Tennessee, we already mentioned them. A bunch of SEC offers. And see, one of the big position groups that still need to be addressed for the Mizzou roster was offensive line. We definitely need offensive line help. And I like going back to the high school ranks to go and get someone, because it's someone with a little more upside than someone you might get from the transfer portal, although the transfer portal is more instant impact. And honestly, heck, Mizzou could still add another offensive lineman through the transfer portal. We don't know, but looks like they got at least somebody here, and this is great. Late edition of the 2021 class, and we really needed to step up offensive line recruiting, and it looks like we did here with Jamarion Gooch. Looks like a great addition.
Yeah, I was kind of happy with this commit because, you know, one of my concerns with Drink so far in his recruiting classes, he like gets a lot of good players in like these sexy positions like quarterback, wide receiver, running back, cornerback, you know, like these positions that, you know, like a casual fan would get excited about. But he hasn't really like addressed the trenches too much, and it wasn't really his fault last year, but that's why we lost a lot of games last year, is because we just didn't have the talent up front. Yeah. So, yeah, bringing in a massive guy for the offensive line is always something I'm going to be happy about.
Yeah, and they definitely needed tackle help, especially with Larry Borm's departure. Not that Jamarion Gooch is going to come in, like, step in day one and be, like, super good and replace Larry Borm, but, I mean, that's just an example of why, you know, we need to add to the offensive line. Mizzou only signed, what was it, like one or two offensive linemen in the 2021 class. And yeah, they definitely needed offensive line help for sure. So that's good to hear. And looks like Mizzou will probably add maybe a few more transfers. I forget how many spots they have left now. But see, Jack Buford left the program not too long ago. He was a former St. Louis offensive line recruit. So Gooch, basically, you know, that's a wash there. So it was good to land him after that happened. But I expect Mizzou maybe to add a running back or linebacker or something like that still. But spring practice started just recently. And Mizzou also released a spring practice schedule along with a date for the spring game, which looks like it's going to happen, which I'm very excited about because we haven't had a spring game in a while now. They didn't have the one last year. And I always loved going and getting the poster with the schedule on it. I haven't been able to get one because they didn't have the spring game. And also, me and you are probably going to meet up there if everything goes well. So, yeah, I'm super excited to hear that they're going to be having a spring game.
I wouldn't bet on it, but I'm trying to make it happen.
Yeah.
It'll be fun.
Yeah, for sure. I just, like, people, you know, they talk about the spring game and how it's not that important and no one cares. But you know what? I like it because it's a chance to watch the team play and see what players look good and stuff like that, what freshmen have come in that, you know, were early enrollees and how they're progressing already. And it's fun. You get to hang out with fans. They have a ton of cool stuff. So I'm really glad that the spring game looks to be happening.
Yeah, and something that, even if I can't go, I'm definitely going to be watching on TV. And my biggest thing that I'm going to be watching for is, wait, Tyler Macon should play, right?
Yeah, he was one of the early enrollees.
Yeah. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what he looks like, especially given the fact that there's now some question marks about who the quarterback of the future is going to be.
Yeah, for sure. QB competition is always fun. And for the record, we're not saying that Connor Bazelak is going to lose his job to Tyler Macon or anything. But, I mean, Tyler Macon next year for sure definitely has a chance, depending on what happens. I mean, you just never know what could happen.
Yeah, anything can happen. Yeah. Who knows? Maybe Bazelak has a fantastic year and leaves for the NFL. You never know.
Yeah. Although Bazelak could be a freshman for like two more years still. I don't even know how any of that works anymore.
It's going to be like Brandon Weeden, 30 years old and still playing college ball.
Yeah, it's insane, dude. I mean, Connor Bazelak, he could win SEC. Could he win SEC Freshman of the Year again next year? Like, is that like, can he do that? I mean, technically he could.
I have no idea how the eligibility works, man.
Yeah, it's insane. Speaking of quarterbacks, and I know you guys have probably been waiting for us to talk about this. It's the big news, just happened yesterday. Drink lands the highest rated commit since he took over the job and the highest out-of-state recruit ever for Mizzou in 5.94 star, according to Rivals.com, Georgia quarterback Sam Horn. And Connor, I'll let you start. What were your initial thoughts of Mizzou landing Sam Horn?
I know you had heard murmurs of this for a long time, but I was stunned. I've known about Sam Horn for a bit. When I first heard about him, I had just assumed he was going to Texas. I don't know why. I guess, you know, Horn, Longhorn. But then I saw a bunch of stuff from, like, Tennessee fans talking about him, so I just assumed that he was a lock to Tennessee. And I knew he was good, and then just all of a sudden he commits to Mizzou. I was ecstatic. And this guarantees, even if he's not the guy, it guarantees we're going to get good quarterback play for the foreseeable future.
Okay. Let me just say, yes, I heard murmurs. And you know why I heard murmurs? Because I'm on a site, well, I was on a site called Power Mizzou, ran by Gabe DeArmond. And Gabe, if you're for some reason listening to my podcast right now, which I would not be surprised by given the fact you seem to have found my article somehow that I wrote about Sam Horn committing to Mizzou, even though I didn't share it at all and I didn't even mean for it to be published early. I don't even know where I'm going with this really. So I'm going to include this in the little bullet points when I put up the podcast on social media, but I got banned from Power Mizzou and I'm like really pissed about it because I'm not even really pissed that I got banned, but it was the reason that I got banned. And sorry, Connor, you probably really don't want to hear this, but I'm talking about it. So I got banned from Power Mizzou, and here, I'll just start the story from the beginning. So I went on Power Mizzou shortly after Horn had committed to see, you know, like the fan buzz. I love going on the message boards and just, you know, talking to people. And, you know, I just wanted to see what all the buzz was. And then I noticed it wasn't working. It wouldn't let me see any of the threads. And I said, hey, I messaged Gabe and I said, I think my PM account is bugging. Says everything is private or that I can't view it this time and only lets me see my own posts. I was wondering if you knew how to fix that. Thanks. And then he says to me, when you take our information and write up a blog that is in fact not accurate without any credit for where you get from where or for where you got the information, which was behind a paywall, I'm not all that enthusiastic about allowing you access to the site. So if you guys, well, I mean, if you listen to this, you obviously know, but you know, I showmefootball.com, I write about stuff, and I had an article ready to go in preparation of Sam Horn committing because, you know, I write about Mizzou and I wanted to give my own take on it and publish an article on it. And I used a quote in there from a recruiting site. And you'll kind of put two and two together after I read this next part. So I'll just read what I said back to Gabe. I said, I did a write-up earlier today, but did not mean to publish it, and it was reverted back to a draft a few hours ago in case of the news dropping. So that I apologize for. However, I do not and did not take information from your site and pretend it's mine. Steve Wiltfong did an interview with Horn for the 247, another recruiting site, where he said the exact same thing he said to you guys, but anyone can read it, and I linked this source behind the actual text in my article. I understand you wanted to protect the integrity of the website and its content, but I wholeheartedly disagree with what you're saying. So I thought Gabe was referring to, you know, a quote that I put in the article where Sam Horn said Missouri was his top school for a long time. And you know, anyone can find this quote, like it's not behind a paywall. I thought maybe that's what he was referring to. But then next he says to me, but where did you find out he was likely committing today? Because I doubt on a whim you just chose to write an article saying committed, basically implying that me writing an article that Sam Horn committed was me getting information from Power Mizzou, because I wouldn't have found out that Sam Horn was committing without being on Power Mizzou. However, that is false, because one, Gabe nor anybody ever said anything about Horn committing. All they posted was the drink bat signal that he posted on Twitter saying that we should expect a commitment today, and then he put in a crystal ball or future cast pick for Sam Horn, and the crystal ball and future cast picks are in fact not behind a paywall. Anyone can view them, so that's not taking information from his side. I put two and two together and then thought that, you know, I should get an article ready for Sam Horn committing, right? And then I said, I see what you're saying, but how exactly is that different from people who read the board and then go and actually post on Twitter to thousands of followers that he's coming to Mizzou? Again, I didn't mean to actually publish anything before the news dropped, so if that wasn't the case, would this have still happened? Because that was an accident, purely. No hard feelings, though. I get what you're saying. And then he said that I could get my account back on Wednesday, which I guess is his nice way of saying, yeah, I screwed up, but sorry for that rant. I just find it unjust that I got banned and am kind of pissed. Sorry, Connor, but I had to go on that rant.
According to 247 Sports, Sam Horn is the ninth best Mizzou recruit ever.
Who is he behind? Just curious. Do you have it in front of you?
Yeah. 1 through 8 is DGB, Terry Beckner, Sheldon Richardson, Blaine Gabbert, Damian Nash, Chase Patton, Michael Keck, Tony Temple. And that's it.
Wow. A lot of names on there that ended up not really working out.
Well, that's a way to look at it.
We're Mizzou fans. It's our nature.
Yeah, he's actually ranked above Locke. Highest rated quarterback we've ever... never mind. Blaine Gabbert's higher.
Chase Daniel, I think, would be higher as well.
I think Chase... I know Chase was on here, but...
Yeah, but anyways... yeah, I mean, this is a huge commitment. Horn has a huge arm. I compare him to Drew Locke a little bit, you know, and you talk about his pocket awareness. And this is huge. And it's really important to have your quarterback of the future committed so early in the process, because other people look at that and it makes Mizzou so much more appealing, because who wouldn't want to play with a quarterback as highly rated as Sam Horn in the same class, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a quarterback-driven league. People are going to want to team up with good quarterbacks. And if you can consistently be a quarterback factory, receivers will come, linemen will come, you know.
Yeah, for sure. And hey, it could even work for the defensive side of the ball too. Like, you know, defenses know you're not going anywhere unless you had the quarterback. So, yeah, I mean, having Horn is very appealing to a lot of the other uncommitted prospects for the 2022 class. And this commitment actually puts Mizzou at in the top 15 in the nation nationally, and they are top 5 in the SEC. And folks, you can say right now, and I'm sure this will change maybe even tomorrow because it's Bama, but right now you can say that Mizzou has a better recruiting class than Alabama in football. Savor it.
Yeah, you know it's not going to last, because I think either the same day or day before, Alabama got the number one ranked quarterback.
If we end up having a better recruiting class than Alabama by the time this year's class is said and done, I will streak at the following Arkansas game.
We'd be the number one recruiting class in the nation. We'd have to be to outrank Bama.
Yeah.
Because I think they've won the recruiting title like 4 of the past 5 years or something.
Yeah, it would be extremely difficult. We'd have to get more STL kids.
Can we just take a minute to talk about the legend that is Terry Clooney for a sec?
Yeah, you can go ahead and talk about him.
Okay, so 22TPMizzou67 on Twitter, right? Great fan, really dedicated. But man, his priorities could not be more wrong. Terry, buddy, if you're listening to this, I doubt it. why do you want two-star kids so bad? I straight up said, Terry, Eli could sign every kid in Texas and miss out one two-star kid in St. Louis, and you would complain about it. And he said, need to recruit STL, don't care about Texas. We could win the national championship, and he would be mad because there wouldn't be enough STL kids on the team. I don't understand it. His reasoning is, I don't like seeing kids from my hometown go to Alabama or go to Ohio State and Notre Dame. Okay, who cares? As long as we're winning, that's what matters.
Yeah, it doesn't matter where the players come from, as long as you get them.
Yeah, like, does it suck watching Mizzou players go and play for Denver? Yeah, it does, but it doesn't matter as long as the Chiefs are winning. The same logic applies.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, I wanted to backtrack a little bit, go into Sam Horn again. I found it funny that a Tennessee newspaper wrote an article just a few days ago after Ty Simpson, one of Tennessee's top quarterback targets, ended up committing to Alabama. And this Tennessee newspaper wrote an article basically saying, don't freak out because, you know, Sam Horn is Tennessee's next top target, and he looks to be like almost a Tennessee lock. And a couple days later, Sam Horn commits to Mizzou, spurning Tennessee, his team that he grew up cheering for. And I just find that hilarious.
I have a feeling that if Jeremy Pruitt was still the head coach at Tennessee, we might not have gotten Sam Horn, but the whole McDonald's gate probably helped us out.
Well, even when they had Pruitt, he still said we were his top school to national recruiting sites, so I wouldn't have been scared of Pruitt at all.
That surprises me. I mean, like, if I was a recruit, my number one school would be Mizzou. I would never look at Tennessee, you know, so it just surprises me that someone who grew up rooting for Tennessee, like, would have Mizzou as their top school, but I guess maybe drink's just that convincing.
Drinkwitz, man. Extend him.
And it's also kind of interesting, given the fact that he's from Georgia, because one of the things Drink said in his opening press conference was, I think it was a slight shot at Odom, saying that it was something along the lines of, we don't need to go in to the deep south and go head-to-head with other SEC schools. There are kids that want to and can play SEC ball all over the country, so we're going to use that SEC badge to recruit kids from Nebraska, Colorado, and he rattled off a couple other states that have direct flights from Como. But it's just weird that we were able to get such a highly rated player from Georgia in the SEC, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what Drinkwitz said to the kid, but hey, maybe he paid him. I don't know. And if he did, I don't care. I mean, I actually applaud
as long
that.
As we don't get caught.
Yeah.
I don't care.
As long as you don't put money in McDonald's bags.
Tennessee is just such a dumpster fire of a program.
Dude, I'll send you a link after we're done recording, but you can actually go. There's a free message board for Tennessee fans similar to Power Mizzou, and it's called like VolNation.com or something, and they had this message board, and they had a whole thread for Sam Horn. They were basically bitching about Mizzou, saying, I can't believe Dorkwitz is out recruiting us. I can't believe he would go to a program like Missouri. His commitment won't stick. This is far from over. I mean, they're in shambles, man.
I feel like the suicide hotline is an equivalent of a Tennessee message board.
It's getting pretty close for them.
Who's more miserable, Tennessee fans or Auburn fans?
I'd say Tennessee fans, because at least Auburn fans have like a national championship in the last millennium to hang their hat on. And they, you know, I mean, they've been competitive. I mean, Tennessee just cannot even get competitive.
I mean, they did run the best coach they've had in decades out of town. So he could go play for the team that recently beat him in the Peach Bowl, I believe. Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, they were just sick of Gus, and I think they kind of took him for granted, to be honest. But I mean, it happens. They just got sick of them is what it was. And honestly, it's just because Auburn fans have ridiculous expectations. Really, when they determine whether their season is a success or not, it's did you beat Bama? And most of the time that didn't happen. Auburn would catch them every here and there. But it's just because Auburn fans think they want them to be a great program when they're really just a good program and not a great one. I mean, they might be a great program depending on your definition, but I mean, they're not up there with Alabama.
And I mean, Gus had a better winning percentage against Nick Saban than I think anybody. Granted, it wasn't great, but you're not going to beat Nick Saban very often. And I don't mean to sound like Jen Psaki, but I'm going to kind of circle back to Eli Drinkwitz with this. And I listened to Gus Malzahn's opening press conference at UCF, and he just sounds like an older version of Drink. That was the first time I really ever listened to Gus Malzahn, and it kind of reaffirms my faith in Drink, because we basically just have a younger version of Gus Malzahn. And you know, Gus was able to beat Bama, and no one else in the SEC can do that. So maybe Drink can do it pretty soon.
Like I said, I'll streak at the next Arkansas game if anything like that happens.
No, I mean like in a game. We're not going to beat them recruiting.
If we do either, I will do it.
Why Arkansas specifically?
Just because it's a big rivalry game and a lot of people would be there. And yeah.
You want to streak for Barrel?
And Sam Pittman.
Why do I feel like Sam Pittman would enjoy that?
It's Sam Pittman. He's a weird dude.
Yes, sir.
But yeah, Tennessee fans are an absolute shambles. And it's funny how they try to argue like that we're like a shitty program when Missouri has been by far a better program since they joined the conference. I mean, they have the winning record against them since they joined the conference. They have two SEC East titles over Tennessee since they joined the conference. They have the best point differential in wins against Tennessee. It's just really not even close. And Missouri's been a better program than Tennessee, and that's even with.
You remember years. When they were saying like Pruitt owns Drinkwitz?
I mean, now he kind of will forever since he's not the coach anymore, and he's 1-0 against Drink. But I guarantee you, if that game was played later in the season, it's a blowout and we win.
Oh yeah, Tennessee was a good program for the first 2 weeks, and we just like had to get going.
And, yeah,
you know, it is what it is.
You didn't even have a starting quarterback in that game. I mean, come on, you really?
We were starting a safety at quarterback.
Yeah,
that's our excuse now, and it's a valid one.
Yeah, I mean, he's a better safety than quarterback.
He's a surprisingly good safety. I'm really happy with
that. I hope he starts, and I hope he becomes like an NFL draft pick at safety.
That would be such a crazy story, and I'm all here for it. Break out Definitely. The Sean Robinson number 12 jerseys.
Definitely. Chiefs draft in first round.
I mean, would it be a terrible pick?
Yes.
If he's
Sorry, Sean. Yes, it would be a terrible pick in the first round. Sorry, Sean Robinson.
Wouldn't put it past Veach, though.
Yeah, definitely not. We'll definitely have some more Chiefs content on the way for sure, though, and some big news probably to share next time we do a Chiefs podcast.
Yeah, we'll hold off on that. Keep it ambiguous.
Yeah. Anyways, anything else you want to touch on before we wrap it up here?
Nah, just surprisingly optimistic podcast.
Yeah, pretty much. Like most of our Mizzou podcasts, for some reason, we've been optimistic. But
anyways, I don't know why. They always disappoint us.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like the antithesis of the Kansas City Chiefs. But thank you, everybody, for listening. Make sure to like, share, check out www.showmefootball.com for more. Gabe, please unban me now.
And me! I was unjustly banned as well.
You were not unjustly banned, but that's a story for another day. Peace, everybody.